Pastor Mike McCoy, welcoming you to the time of truth. I am in Hebrews chapter number 10. I'm going to take my text today. I'm going to try to preach a little message here. Pray that God will bless this and help us. And it's just good to be here. I'm stirred in my spirit this morning, and I thank the Lord for that. I'm glad that He has come by. And so I'm not being critical of those that are staying watching via Facebook. And we want you to know that we appreciate you viewing. We appreciate the ones that have come. If you are afraid or have been sick, we recommend that you just stay home and watch. But we're distanced out here pretty good. We got families sitting with families. They still some spaces here that could have been filled and still kept the distance. But I'm not trying to be ignorant about this, but I'm thinking that this distance stuff's about to do something else going to happen. And so I thank the Lord for this. I saw something. I attribute this. I was speaking to a preacher from Indiana, Brother Terry Hines, day before yesterday. He said, "Man, you got some kind of tech team." I thought, well, yeah, that's Becky and Wade and Dustin when he flies the thing around and takes a picture of the parking lot. But anyway, he said, "We've been watching what you're doing down there. There's a lot of people have taken, they've taken example from us, and this is how they've opened up church, distance, every other pew, and several are opening up today. I've had several pastors call me and ask me what I was doing. I told them, and they just kind of jumped on the train. But what fascinated me, and I'm going to get the message. I'm in Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 23, I think is the verse I'll begin with. And I saw something and I don't know how this came up. I accidentally done this, Becky. I don't know how to pull up the graphs and the charts and see how many people's. But in the last 28 days, according to that chart I pulled up, there has been over 20,000 people view the First Free Will Baptist Church in the last 28 days. Now that's amazing to me. Over 20,000 people. Now that's a lot of folk. Now, you know, for a little Free Will Baptist Church here in Crossville, Tennessee, that's a bunch of people in the last 28 days. Now, past that, I didn't research and see how many in the past 40. But Brother Gordon, that's good. That's a lot of people watching. So my point is this, even in a difficult time when it seems like the numbers are down inside the sanctuary and the troubles seem to be pressing us on, I'm telling you, God's still in control of this thing. He knows what He's doing. There may be someone watching that would have never watched had not this virus came by and scared the britches off of some of them and got their attention. And so now maybe they're looking for something, you know. I say it here all the time. You are going to die. Just nobody thinks it's them. He's a-chasing you right now, old man Death. He's going to catch some of you. And probably before the year's out, there'll be somebody gone from this very group before the year's out. So that worries me. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. I ain't made it to the house yet. I'd like to tell Mom and Dad, hey, keep looking up for me. I'm coming to the house. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. I'm telling you, I've wavered all over the board. Now, I know none of you have. But it's just sad when I look back and thinking about what Christ done and that I'm a trophy of His grace. I'm telling you, I'm some kind of trophy. If He can get Mike McCoy there, He can get anybody there. For He is faithful that promised. Isn't that good? And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Now, that word there, provoke, it means to incite, to do something good. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. Yeah. and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Father, I love you. I do, Lord, in my soul, and I thank you for the good day. I thank you for what you're doing in here this morning. Glory to God. Thank you for each one that's come, those that are viewing. God, we pray now that you'd use us for a little while. You'd fill my mouth and guard my tongue. Preach me inside the bounds of your writ. God, this holy word, help me be accurate in the scripture. And bless this word and this time and this service for the glory of yourself and our Christ. And God, I pray the Holy Ghost would have reign and rule throughout the remainder of the service. And you'd touch us, God, and pull us up, Lord, close to yourself. Let us draw nigh to you, and you'll draw nigh to us. Lord, use this time, this word, for your glory. In the name of my King, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Now, I want to preach on something. I've been using a lot of words that you're hearing on the news, and it's just been common today. Here's what I want to preach this morning. I want to preach on essential gatherings. Essential gatherings. Essential gatherings. Now, in verses 23, 24, and 25, here's what we see. Stay with me as I try to launch this thing today. We see the admonition of the word, which is simply this. It's instruction and duty. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. There it is. Solomon wrote that. It's the whole duty of man. Fear God, keep his commandments. That's the conclusion of the whole matter. Now, he's admonishing them here. The admonition is this. He's giving direction in what to do. Well, let us hold fast. Let us consider. And let us not forsake. Hey, we should, this is the admonition to those in the day Paul was writing this. Now, listen, get a hold of this. The application, not only the admonition, it's no good. Admonition is no good unless it's applied. If we don't apply what's been spoken to us, it's of no benefit. It's like the danger, bad curve ahead. And you're running 90 miles an hour, and you ignore that sign, there's a good chance you're going to die. Now, it has admonished, it has directed, it has said there's a bad curve ahead, but when we ignore that, unless we apply the admonition or our admonishment, it's of no benefit to us. Now, he said, let us draw near, let us not waver, let us hold fast, let us consider and provoke. Let us do these things, and let us, he says, not forsaking. In other, the opposite or the implication there is that let us gather together. What is this? It's essential that we gather. Facebook's great. Live stream's great. YouTube's great when used for the right things. These are all good, but it's not like gathering together. This is essential. Now, we see the admonition, we see the application. It is the assembling, is when we do these things, is when we assemble. Now, we do them outside, but especially when we assemble. Stay with me. This word assemble is only used two times in the New Testament. The other time, it's used as in 2 Thessalonians 2:1, when it says the gathering of ourselves to Jesus Christ. Now, what that is saying is the assembling and the gathering are used out of the same Greek word. So I'm understanding this, that our assembling, our gathering are essential. Now, I know Brother Gary preached very much along these lines the other night. I told him what I was preaching Sunday. Before he preached that message, we are on the same page. He preached on the necessity. I'm preaching on the essentials. I want us to consider this. Not only the admonition and the application, but the age of the church. When this is spoken, thinking. I think Paul wrote this. Some disagree, some agree. Really, it doesn't matter who wrote it. It just matters that it's inspired. Now, if this was in AD 64, some say 63, some say 65, they could argue whichever way, I really don't care, but it is this, it's prior to AD 70. Now, when he says this assembling of ourselves, AD 70, they were six, let's say it's 64. They're 6 years away from a Roman come riding into their place and tearing down their playpen. He's going to do this. He's going to take their church. They're meeting in the temple. Remember where they're at the gate called Beautiful, and the lame man's there, and Peter and John are going up for what? The hour of prayer. It's time to pray. They're going up for prayer. What happens here? Guy can't walk. All of a sudden, he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And that old cripple boy got up a dance and a jig and couldn't quit praising the Lord and went dancing and praising and jumping into the house of God, the temple, if you would. 6 years from this time, when he's saying don't forsake the assembling, 6 years from here, Titus is going to come in, and they're not going to leave one stone that's not overturned. There's a rumor spread among the Roman soldiers in that day. History teaches this, that the Jews used gold as mortar and placed it under the stones. And so they done exactly what Jesus said was going to happen in Matthew 24, and they turned over every rock looking for the gold. The gold had already been there and left. He's about 40 years off. Stay with me. So the age. Then the age. I wish I'd have thought of this on my own. And I should have written that guy's name down. But I don't want to give him the glory for it. This is of the Holy Ghost. Watch this. You know what's happening in this day? The opposite of what we do in what we call church. Now, in this day, when he said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, they didn't have formal churches. They had the temple, but in 6 years, this thing's going to be torn down. Jesus had said in Matthew 18 and 20, he said, where two or three are gathered together, I'm going to be in the midst of them. If they're gathered together in my name, there will I also be in the midst. So, that's the simple form. We know where two or three are gathered together in his name. He's there. That's an essential gathering, by the way. So here we have Jesus, and he's telling them this, and they know this Romans. But here's how Jesus said upon this rock, referring to himself in Matthew 16 and 13. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, here's what happens. By faith and hope in eternal life, Jesus drew people to himself and they became the church. Now, we as a church try to draw people in to be part of the church, but Brother Greg, we got to let them see in us faith and hope, the same things that Christ demonstrated and told them about, Brother Dave, and that drew them to Christ. We've turned it around. We try to draw them to church. I'm telling you, you know what people ask me about this church? Here's what I haven't had a question in quite some time, but what they would say, they'd say, what do you do with the kids? They didn't ask me what I preach, didn't ask me what I believe, didn't ask me if I used a King James Bible. They didn't ask us if we had church three times a week. You know what they wanted to know? And they've been some stuck, and some just didn't stay. They said, what do you do with the kids? I said, well, we have children's church, and the rest of them, if they're in school, I preach to them. Oh, man. Keep them up there and preach to them? I said, they sit in school, don't they? If they can sit in school and listen to a teacher for 6 or 7 hours in a day, surely they can listen to this loudmouth preacher for 45 minutes. Surely. Surely. But what kind of church? What is the church? What are we offering them to draw them in? Christ drew them to himself, and it became the church. Here's what this guy said. People get them a preacher they like, and they try to draw them in because of the preacher. Or they get a Sunday school teacher, and they try to draw them in because of what the Sunday school teacher knows. Or they try to draw them into the facility. Or they try to draw them into their programs. They try to draw them in. That's not how you get them in. Listen, Christ, he said, I chose you. You didn't choose me. I chose you. Jesus has to do the drawing. No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw them. He said, then I'll raise them up at the last day. Listen, it has to be drawn of Christ to Christ, not this church, not a denomination. Listen, it is the age in which we live. We are in the dispensation of grace. It is the church age. But my friend, we got to draw them with Christ. You know what you'll have when that occurs? You'll have an essential gathering. You know what I done? I went on the internet. It's a dangerous place to be. And I researched several sites, Brother Gordon, that considered, I looked at their essential list. Their essential work, essential business. And Brother Dave Mitchell, you know what I found? Everything but church. I didn't find one clergy. I didn't find one religious organization. I thought surely they'd plug the Catholics in there, or even the Muslims would have plugged in and said, hey, this, nobody, they didn't plug in nothing. It was all, in the government's viewpoint, a liquor store is more essential than a house of worship. And abortion clinics are more important than the house of the living God. And what I've got to say, or what you've got to say as a Christian, or what thus saith this holy writ, doesn't matter to them one iota. They could care less. And you know what? Brother Jimmy and I were talking before this. I'm going to give you 3 points real fast in a minute and I'll be done. Listen, I'm convinced there are no Democrats as of yesteryear. I'm convinced that there are no Republicans of yesteryear. I'm convinced that even on both sides of the aisle, they've got this socialist bug burning around in their brain, and they're saying you can gather for anything except that, and you can't gather for that because we don't like that. We're in a mess. And if you think stimulus is going to get you out of it, you're dead wrong. Who in here is 20 years old and younger? Stand up. That's a good number. I want to apologize to you, and I'm sorry. And I mean it in my soul. I'm sorry, Gabe, Bubba, Seth, and all you other young ones. I'm sorry, and I apologize, because you're going to have to pay back what these goombas have given away, and you don't make enough money to pay it back. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Say, I'm going to die. I'm going to die, and they're going to bury me, and I'm not going to have to pay it back. But I got a grandson. If time tarry, he's going to be right in the same place you're at. And he's going to have to help pay it back. You can be seated. Now, that same bunch, that same bunch. You might say, well, I got that money, and I'm telling you, it helped me get by. That's the ones I think they ought to give it to. How many would be honest in here today? And I don't know why I'm on this horse, but I'm a riding her with everything I got. Listen, I'm talking about essential gatherings. Essential things. How many right now, without a showing of hands, don't raise your hand, know somebody that's got more money than they need and they still got the stimulus? Or their business is faring very well and they applied just because they could. Do you see the thinking? You know where I'm going with this? It's pointing to socialism. It is not pointing, and it's things that are not essential. And they're telling us that this isn't essential. I'm telling you, my friend, this is the only essential thing there is, because in Him I live and I move and I have my being. It's because of Him I had bread on my table this morning. It's because of Him I'm up walking around. I am blessed in Him and by Him and through Him. Not by the government. America says things are essential that are not essential. Not so. 40 years ago, I'm just going back 40 years. Things were a whole lot different 40 years ago. There were still a few people with a little bit of common sense. And they knew that some things were essential. And they knew that when they got in trouble and there was nowhere else to go, I don't know how many old lost people I've heard say this, old drunkards and dopers and whoremongers and harlots, and they'd look up and get and say, when I was flat on my back and I didn't have nowhere to look up, there he was, there he was, glory to God. They knew, but there's a generation just like Pharaoh. There came a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph. And they don't know what's essential. The book tells us, Paul knew. Now this is 2 years from 2 Timothy, if I'm reading this right. 2 years from now, Paul's going to be dead, if Paul's the writer of this. There's strong evidence that he was. So 2 years from this time, Paul's going to write 2 Timothy, and he's going to die. Paul don't have much time left. And here's what he's saying. Don't you forsake the assembling of yourselves together. This, my friends, is essential. I need to see Gordon and Paul and Junior. And somebody asked me one time, said, you never mention ladies' names when you're preaching. Hello. Get mad if you want to. I was born at night, but it wasn't last night. All you got to do is call some woman's name. Somebody see you on Facebook. Some husband sitting over there. He gets madder than a hornet. You want to call her name, and the next thing you know, your preacher gets whipped. And I'd have to let him whip me because it said to turn the other cheek. But when I said about Randy, ain't nobody cares. Hey, Randy, this is essential. Essential. Why? Let me throw three things fast. Listen, it's an essential gathering, number one, for our learning. For our learning. I don't recall all of my past, praise God. But I do recall this. Ladder back pews, a pot-bellied stove in the corner of the church. It was up near the stage at Neil's Chapel, wasn't it, Dave? Up near the church, on the right side. I think it was up near on the right side. Everybody wanted to sit on that side. And ladder back pews, no pads, no air conditioning. Very little heat. If you sat off in that corner, you was cold. You wanted to be, everybody wanted to be over here. And in the summertime when there's church, I was always barefooted. I didn't, I just was a hillbilly to the core. But I remember Daddy wouldn't go, but Mama would. And I remember a six-year-old barefoot boy being stood up on the altar. And they'd say, "What song are you going to sing?" And I just knew one song, "Jesus Loves Me," but I knew it. And that's all I need to know. Where did you learn that, preacher? I learned that in the house of a God at an essential gathering. When it's essential, I want to ask you, do you set your child down and teach it Bible verses at night? Or do you depend on a Sunday school teacher to go on Sunday morning to teach them something about God and the preacher to preach something about God? Train up a child in the way he ought to go. When he's old, he shall not depart from it. I take that verse to mean this. It never leaves him if you put it in his heart. He may run around like some crazy mongrel, but there's something eternal about that word. Our learning. 2 Timothy says this. Paul's writing this farewell address to his young preacher. "These things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, commit thou to faithful men who may be able to teach others also." How can they teach something? They learn something. Where did they learn something? They learned it at the house of God. How come? Because it's an essential gathering. We was in a meeting somewhere, and this fellow was doing a fantastic job of preaching. And this preacher beside me said this. Man, I'm on overtime. Preacher beside me said this. He said, "That guy will learn you something right there." I said, "Yeah, he will. He knows. It's for our learning." Number two, listen. This gathering is essential, not only for our learning, but for our laboring. You know where I learned what it was that God wanted me to do? In the house of God at an essential gathering. You know what he said in Philippians, is it 2? I think it's chapter 2. Paul said this. He said, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." You work it out. Why did he say that? Because Jesus said, "Occupy till I come." There is a work for every man, woman, boy, and girl sitting in these pews today. Listen, there's a work. You can't work something out that's not in. But if it's in there, he said, work it out. I don't work to be saved. Don't misunderstand me. You cannot work to be saved. Not of works, lest any man should boast. But I work because I am saved, Tommy. I do something because that's what God gouges me, spurs me, puts a prick in the sharp stick in my back. Paul, it's hard to kick against the pricks. That's what he's talking about. A gouging stick. And he says, hey, do something. Do something. I can't do anything. Yes, you can. If you can talk, you can do something. Well, I'm not a good witnesser. You know what? I'm not real good one-on-one myself. But I've led a few people to the Lord. Probably more in a hospital than I have a church house. Maybe. I know I got my oldest guy in a hospital than Orrin Crane. I'll never forget him, 80-something years old. Orrin Crane, led him to the Lord in the hospital up there. Laboring. You can labor. Brother Junior is a great witnesser. He labors a lot. Just witnessing people to the Lord. It's essential that we come here. What do we learn when we come? Well, we learn about the Lord. We learn what we need to do. And it's essential we learn about laboring. We learn how. We know what to say. I've hit a stump right here. I've got to stay here for just a moment. I had no idea how to preach. All I know that Delmer got up and just took a text and went wild for a while. Now, my Uncle Lyle, when Lyle would take a text, he told me one time, said, son, if you preach on baptism, when they leave there and anybody asks him, let them know. Say, well, he preached on baptism today. If you preach on grace, when they leave there, let them know that you preached on grace. I hope you get this point. I tried to do this in every message. I learned that from somebody by their experience. They'd been down the road farther than I. We're trying to preach today on essential gatherings. It's essential that we come. What do we do? It's essential that we, in our learning, and it's essential for our laboring. We don't know what to do. I didn't know what to do. You know what I done? I went to the Bible Institute down there, and God blessed me with Dr. Tig Penn and Raymond Riggs, and they set me down, and they said, son, let me help you. Here's what you need to do. We learn things in the house of God, and we labor, our laboring. Now, some of you, your labor is this. Your labor is to come. To come. Your labor is to pray. Your labor is to come, pray. Your labor is this. You work outside the church. You come in, and let me boast of our church right quick. You've been very faithful to give online. You fill the box up after church services. You know what? And we're still in business. Thank you. How'd you know to do that? You didn't learn that outside the church house doors. Somebody had enough gumption about them to preach about tithes and offerings, and you heard it and believed it and took it and you done it. And God blessed you for it, didn't he? Brother Brandt says it all the time. You can't outgive God. Last, it's essential for our learning. It's essential for our laboring. But a gathering, listen, essential gathering is for our leaving. We can't leave until he gathers all together. It's essential. Ronnie White said this after the death of Marley. He said, I'm hoping the Lord would just come and get us. This taking us one at a time is killing me. It's when his daughter passed away. I would to God that the Lord take me home before Pat, Dusty, Joe Beth, or Little Bud. If I could lead Little Bud to the Lord, I'd just pretty much feel like I'd done about all I could do here. Pat says, you say that all the time. He may take me first. Nah, he won't. She'll do better without me than I'd do without her. But there's an essential leaving. That gathering is essential. In Genesis, I wrote my scripture down. In Genesis 49 and 10, when Jacob's blessing the 12 tribes, stay with me just another minute or two. Unto him, and he's speaking to Judah, who's the lion of the tribe of Judah? Do we remember him? Unto him shall the gathering of people be. Now, he told us that at the close of Genesis, nearly the end of the book, Genesis 49, he's telling us concerning Judah, to him shall the gathering of people be. It's been essential ever since. In Numbers chapter 10, you're going to find this. In Numbers chapter 10, here's what he told Moses. The Lord told Moses, he said, make you two trumpets and make them silver. I think that's why Cindy calls her ministry Silver Trumpet Ministries. And here's what it is. It's for the gathering of the people. But it's even better yet. They would blow both horns and a certain thing would occur. But when he wanted just a certain group, when he wanted the princes of the children of Israel, here's what he said. Just blow one horn. And when you blow one horn, the closest and the heads of the family are going to show up. You know what we are? We're a chosen generation. And we're a royal priesthood. We're an holy nation. You know what's going to happen? Single horn's going to sound. And you know what it is? The essential gathering is going to take place. You know what happened when you see the day approaching? Do you know what happened right here? He's telling them, don't quit, don't quit. And the more you see the day approaching, it was getting worse and worse. The persecution was getting worse and worse. Is this even ringing a bell? Are we watching it on the evening news for the Christians, for people of faith? The persecution is growing worse and worse. The government is, in the large scope, is anti-Christian. They proved it in what they called essential. And the horn's going to sound. The Bible said, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. There it is. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. An essential gathering. Someone used to sing the song, they can't crown Jesus till I get there. There was a pastor trying to teach some children about being saved. And one of the little girls was about 11 years old, and she's going on it, and she said, yeah, but preacher, I go to church. We go to church every week. She said, he said, well, honey, he said, and that's good, and I'm glad you go. But going to church doesn't make you a Christian. She said, no, but it keeps it on my mind. Huh? It keeps it on my mind. We've got some nut job gets up there and yells for 30 or 45 minutes about this, and it just scares me to death. One guy said, you scare me. I said, I'm not big enough to scare you. He said, I'm telling you why you got to be so loud. I said, I'm just loud. One little girl said, why is that guy so mad? Her mama said, she's telling us about Jesus. Said, he looks like he's mad to me. But here's what it is. I want to keep it on your mind. Did you see all them kids stand up here a minute ago? This is essential. Absence does not make the heart grow fonder. Verena, come in and play something, please. Absence doesn't make the heart grow fonder. That's a lie. From the father of lies. Being with each other, helping one another, seeing one another, gathering together, learning together, laboring together, and leaving together. Some float in and out. You know who I'd like to say? I'd like to see the Coopers back. Everett and Margaret. They're a little concerned about this sickness. I understand. I'd like to see Randall and Billy and Tanya back. They're a little concerned about this sickness. I understand. There's others that I haven't seen for some time. And I am missing you. And I'd like to see you back. This gathering is essential. We'll miss you. But I'm going to tell you, after about 3 or 4 months, it's easy for this mind to forget. You're just looking around, one day it occurs to you, where'd they go? Brother Delmer came and preached a homecoming for us. He said, I don't know anybody there except Jolene and Brant's, and he named 3 or 4. I said, it's a new congregation. Paul, he knew some of us, but not many. And the thing was, they didn't know him. But they know him where he's at every Sunday. And we know you when you're here. Play me something, sis. Pastor Mike McCoy, thanking you for joining us at the Time of Truth.